The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
From the other side of the river to you, it's the Nate Darling Show.
YOLO!
Featuring Sam Platts, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels. And now, taking with you to bed, here's Nate.
Just to cuddle. That's all you get.
Maybe a little spoon. Does that count? Spooning is cuddling, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Eventually, I'm going to do the hug and roll.
Oh, dear.
I'm absolutely doing the hug and roll. Because I got the CPAP machine now. I can't just stay doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I need to sleep. Got to roll over, put the CPAP on.
Need to breathe.
How has your sleeping gotten since using the CPAP machine?
Actually, unbelievably good.
Yeah?
By comparison, I almost never wake up in the night anymore. I check.
Except to go to make water.
And even then, it's far less because I'm less likely to wake up.
Right.
Because I'm not waking up by stopping my breathing.
Uh-huh.
I don't wake up to live. So by sleeping all the way through, if I get up, it's one of those weird things where there's like a leak around the mask or something like that. Mm. I do have more energy now, which is good.
Really?
Okay. I'm also taking MCT oil, which has helped a lot.
Oh, yeah.
The two of those combined, yeah, that's actually really, I feel like that's been a huge help to me.
I need to start drinking. I have a bottle of MCT oil. I should just start using it.
Yeah.
Anyone could use that? Is it just a nutritional supplement kind of
thing?
Yeah,
it's taken from coconut oil.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I got this stuff from Onnit, which is what Joe Rogan endorses, and a bunch of other athletes, because it has no coconut flavor or odor.
Right.
And I don't care for coconut.
Mm.
I just don't. I don't like it, but
I like the water. I don't like the chewy coconut.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But, I mean, you can buy, like, at GNC, they've got some coconut oil that's, like, 95% MCT oil. I got some of that, and I tried it, and I'm like, no, I can taste the coconut, so that's a no-go. But, yeah, I put that in my coffee in the morning, like Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla said to, and I feel a lot better. I've started putting it in smoothies now, so I've doubled the dose I have.
Damn, son.
Bam.
And, yeah, it helps with digestion, helps with your liver and energy, too. So I don't feel tired in the middle of the afternoon. Almost never does that happen anymore.
I could use that. It's something I can use.
I tried the butter with the MCT oil with my coffee.
That's like the caveman coffee.
Oh. So I tried that, and it was actually the butter in it was really good. It actually made it creamy, and it was it had a nice
Brilliant.
Taste to it. Yeah,
Brilliant.
Yeah. But at the same time, I was like unemployed, just lost my job, so I was sitting around the house all day.
Oh.
So like I couldn't. I don't know if it did any better.
It didn't really help you.
Yeah, because I was not active.
Burn enough energy.
Yeah, I was just playing video games.
Well, that takes energy too.
Yeah, but it's so stimulating. Sometimes I don't even know when you're tired.
True that.
Yeah, so like in the middle of the afternoon, I don't feel like sleepy at all. Like at work in the middle of the afternoon, it was getting to the point where I was like fighting to stay awake.
Yeah.
In the
That's
afternoon,
rough.
And it sucked. It sucked.
You ever go take a nap in the car in the hot, hot sun?
No. No.
I did that a number of times. It was like a sauna.
Yeah.
Wake up in a pool of sweat.
Under your desk in the office, man. Under your desk in the office.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Don't say a sauna to me away from work, Sam. You know better. That's an inside joke between Sam and I.
Yes, it is.
Coming up on the show today, Ole Miss finally gets with the program. Mike Huckabee sucks. And Chris Rock is hosting the Oscars again.
Again.
I said this out. I don't know if you guys did this at all, but we can just go off the top of our heads.
I've got one.
Favorite scary movies, because Halloween is tomorrow. Anything that you like that's a Halloween tradition I have to watch sort of movie?
1, 2, Freddy's coming for you.
Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street. That was a good one, right? That's a classic.
The original.
Yeah.
And the 17 sequels.
I greatly enjoy, don't hate me, the Rob Zombie version of Halloween. I think he did an excellent job, and I was a fan of the original Halloween, too.
That's one of my, but the original one is one of my favorites.
Yeah, and what I love about it is it's not just a horror movie. If you're talking about a Halloween horror movie, I love it because it takes place at Halloween, and it's twisted, it's intense, and it's just got that classic horror vibe. But my favorite scary movie besides that, more presently, is The Fourth Kind. And I love that for different reasons. Mm-hmm. That's more filmmaker stance. I love the editing technique, the storytelling, the way they're interweaving, you know, found footage with the reenacted footage. I don't know. I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant film that creeps the shit out of me. Because it's like alien abduction, but they don't talk about it like that. So it's not cheesy alien movie. And you look at these people going through hypnosis who have allegedly been abducted, and they go to this trance, and it looks more like demonic possession. And I love demonic possession movies, too. I think those are fun to watch.
I think Exorcist, really, for me, was probably the scariest. But then also there's the movie Communion with Christopher Walken.
Which
was the alien film.
Right, yeah.
Like, aliens, like, have always been the, like, I'm way more worried, like, scared about aliens.
Right.
And, like, getting abducted and stuff like that.
There's some tubular bells right there.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Ooh.
Yeah.
For my money, the scary movie that I like the best is the original Friday the 13th.
Okay.
That's a good one to be here.
A good one.
It's just, for lack of a better term, even if for no other reason, I really, really enjoy watching Kevin Bacon get killed.
Sold! Again, great promoting, Nate.
And the way that they kill Kevin Bacon, if you've not seen the original Friday the 13th, you have to. It is a slower moving movie. It came out in the early 80s, I think, late 70s, early 80s. And it's when movies didn't move as quickly. There was a much slower pace to setting everything up.
There was a twist at the end.
There was. There was. And the other thing is that you don't, it's not just slash, 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 slash.
Right.
It's very cool.
Keeps you at the edge of the seat.
Yeah. This past Monday, they were showing Psycho at the Tower Theater.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a movie I only had to see once.
Did you see The Omen?
Love The Omen.
Long time ago.
Omen's good, too, yeah.
I can't, like, you can't watch it at my mom's house. Like, she hears the music, and she's like, turn that shit off.
You're like, that's it, we're watching a Disney movie before I can go to bed.
Turn that shit off.
I almost think Pink Flamingos was even more, like, a horror movie for me than anything. Like, I was disturbed after I saw Pink Flamingos. I was, like, disturbed.
Really, anything John Waters will do that.
Yeah, but that was a special kind of that was a horror film for me.
You know, one movie that's not a horror film that's very scary, or at least it was for me, was Flatliners.
Oh, yeah.
Flatliners, a really good
movie.
Give
me a little
Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, yeah.
I need a synopsis on Flatliners, because I'm not clicking on that.
Kiefer Sutherland, okay. Julia Roberts.
How long ago is this?
91.
Yeah.
Wasn't all those? They were all the people that were.
Like, they're in the between death and life.
There was a young stars.
Yeah, there was very beginning. Yeah. Like the,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's early career. If you haven't seen Flatliners, it's a 1990 American science fiction horror film, directed by Joel Schumacher.
Oh.
Produced by Michael Douglas, and it stars Kiefer Sutherland, Julia Roberts, Billy Baldwin, although it says William, Billy Baldwin. Oliver Platt, and the aforementioned Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
The premise, it's about five medical students that attempt to find out
what lies beyond
death, and they conduct some clandestine experiments that produce near-death experiences. The film was shot between October of 89 and January of 90. It was nominated for Best Sound Editing, and it was theatrically released in August of 1990. I saw it in college on campus, actually.
Nice.
Yeah. Really, I mean, the idea that they were going and basically killing each other, but ready to bring, they had this system where they would bring them back and go, what did you see? What did you see? It was just the whole
It was
experience.
Creepy.
It was.
It was really creepy.
That was a fantastic
Jacob's film, Ladder, really, I mean, that was, you saw that, yeah?
Yeah.
You saw it, right, with Tim
Robbins?
Tim Robbins, yeah.
It's been a while, but yeah.
Oh, man. It was like, there was just one part where, like, he's in the subway and there's a face that shakes back and forth, and because, like, it's like, and it just scared the shit out of me as a kid.
I love those moments when there's that one moment that, you know.
I was like, oh my God, it's so creepy.
You know, the Scream movies aren't, in my book, they're not scary, but I fucking love them. I love them all, even the most recent one. To me, and I think I read an article about Wes Craven saying that this was actually like a satire, and
Oh yeah.
And I think they're brilliant and entertaining films that I do enjoy to watch around Halloween.
Poltergeist is also scary.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Very creepy.
The old school and The Shining, very scary.
Oh yeah, of course too. Yeah.
The Ring.
Here's Johnny.
I like the Ring.
Oh yeah.
Okay, yeah, more
Japanese recent, horror recent one. Yeah. Well,
Paranormal Activity?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the first one I loved. After that, I still was entertained by the second one, and then they lost me on the third one.
I thought Blair Witch Project, I thought mm-hmm. that was...
When it first came out, it got me. You know, the creepiest scene was when they're in the tent, and you hear the clicking outside, and all of a sudden, these little hands start touching the outside of the tent.
Oh, here's one I hadn't thought of. I just Googled scary movies and scrolling across for it. That is incredibly scary, but I'd forgotten about as being a scary movie, The Fly.
Uh-huh.
The Fly with Jeff Goldblum from 86. Not the original one from way back, but that's just a freaky, scary sort of film. I don't know if it would hold up, but I remember being really freaked out and scared by it. So
I'm going to take you back to The Shining because
sure.
the movie was scary. That was actually my gateway scary movie. My mom, I remember the day when she, you know, me and my brother were like 8 years old, and she's like, I think we're going to let you guys watch a scary movie now. And we went to the video store and she grabbed The Shining and I don't remember what else, but it was a weird entry into the scary world. But anyways, the thing that I found even scarier than the movie, I saw this clip online on YouTube behind the scenes. They were showing Jack Nicholson getting into character and he grabs the axe and starts like talking himself up and hyping up. And it's just before he's about to beat down the door. And you see the assistant director walk by, and he's trying to get everyone on set ready to go. And Jack Nicholson almost cuts him with the axe. And it was like, he was out of his fucking mind in real life getting into character. I was like, I think that's scarier because that was real. That was him getting into character, just getting
and then
loco,
look what,
dude.
Then look what he did with that scene, though.
Yeah.
It's like
the most brilliant scene.
And it was improv.
Yeah.
Like that. Here's Johnny. That was completely.
So you got to admire that man.
Oh,
what was that, Nate?
I love Jack.
It's playing on its own. So
he's brilliant.
Yeah, me and Jack have the same size hands and feet.
That's kinky, bro.
Wow.
That's a fun fact.
It is.
Grumman's Theater, right?
Yeah.
Huh? Grauman's.
Grauman's.
So here's a scary movie that I saw at a junior. It was a high school party, one of my first high school parties. So, like 15 years old, and it was on. They rented some scary movies, and this is one they rented. It's a movie called Pieces, and this is the trailer. You don't have to go to Texas for a chainsaw massacre.
The hell?
That is flesh through a saw, a chainsaw.
And it's got like circus music. It's very disturbing.
It's exactly what you think it is.
Good God, man. Very uneasy with this audio.
Did the guy just giggle at the end? Like
he did. He was cleaning off his chainsaw. The movie Pieces... and I'm going to spoil this for everybody, so good luck finding the movie anyway. The idea of Pieces, and this is a real tough premise, this guy is going on this murderous spree around campus. Turns out it's a college professor, and he is looking to take pieces from different co-eds and assemble his perfect woman. But here's the twist at the end. He puts her together, and then she comes to life and kills him.
Ooh. Oh, nice. Yeah. That's a fun
So a little supernatural for you. So, yeah.
So, aside from scary movies, I love watching all the old nostalgic things from my childhood. This is a Disney's cartoon, The Skeleton Frolic. I'm sure you all remember that
one. Who doesn't remember this?
Yes, yeah. It's a classic. There's other things like the Halloween's trick-or-treat thing with like Huey, Dewey, and Louie and...
No, but this one with the when the skeletons do their dance.
Yeah, and they do like flat weird dancing.
They do the thing where they do like the Esker.
Freaking classic. I love Halloween, dude. I love all the weird retro. I mean, it's all weird. I like to hunt it down. You see some of the weird 60s Halloween shit gets weird.
Yeah, a lot of crazy stuff. So enjoy your scary movies. So zombie movies, do you think zombies are scary?
The original.
Oh, the original Night of the Living Dead.
I love that one.
Yeah.
And outside of that, I'm so burnt out. I'm burned out.
So you're not into The Walking Dead anymore? It had a huge premiere.
Check it. I've never been into the TV show.
Okay.
I've been crucified multiple times by friends. I did dabble in the comic books for a while. And when I was excited when the show came out, it just, the style of it just wasn't my flavor.
It wasn't your flavor?
It's not my flavor. Mm. It was a little vanilla.
I wanted something else.
Well, it's probably best that you didn't do that because a New Mexico man who's had a recent binge watching of The Walking Dead.
Oh dear.
Has now been charged with murder after telling police he attacked his drinking buddy because he believed the other man had started, and I quote, to change into a zombie and wanted to bite him. That's according to Albuquerque news station KOB4. Damon Perry, who's 23, allegedly punched and kicked his zombified friend Christopher Paquin and then beat him to death with a microwave.
Whoa.
What was in their beer?
And an electric guitar. That's from.
Oh my God, both?
Yeah, well, you want to make sure you finish the job. And of course, he had to use his axe.
Oh!
After attacking him, Perry allegedly exited the apartment where they'd been drinking and ran through the housing complex, chasing people with either scissors, that's according to the Daily Beast, or a knife, that's according to KOB. He was eventually subdued by two maintenance workers. Police don't believe mental illness was a factor and are attributing the alleged attack to binge drinking. They told the Beast that after sobering up, Perry expressed remorse for his friend's death. I'm sorry I killed him. He's being held on $800,000 bail. So,
wow.
Right?
Sorry, bro. Didn't mean it. Didn't mean to bash your skull with a microwave.
I feel so totally bad. That's my stoner voice. I'm sorry. Stoners never do that. They can't pick up the motivation to smash somebody with an axe. They just want tasty bud.
Bro, give me your tots. Sorry. That was definitely Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah.
Jeff Spicoli and Napoleon Dynamite, everybody.
A little hybrid for you.
All right, so there is something on the Gawker Network called The Classic Man. And so we're going to look back at the 80s. For 1987, the book was A Modern Man's Guide to Life. Let's see how the advice in that is aged.
The Modern Man.
They say, go for the selection. The choice is VHS or Beta. And if you're at all interested in watching rental videos of current films, you'll have a much better chance of finding the movie you want on VHS, simply because it's overwhelmingly the favorite format. New formats are rolling out all the time, but with the enormous catalog of VHS films already on hand, the format seems likely to remain the home format of choice. The new 8mm formats are still too new to evaluate. Spoiler alert, they didn't take off.
I did find an 8mm beta tape of Star Wars at a thrift store once, and I have that. I don't think it's going to be worth anything to anyone, but it's fun to have.
The new hi-fi capable VCRs deliver an enormously improved audio playback through your home stereo system.
Ooh.
New television peripherals are coming onto the market to emphasize using the TV set as the central monitor in a much more elaborate entertainment package that can also include some information services.
Really?
That means that when you buy a new VCR, go for the best quality you can get for the money.
Yeah.
Think of it as buying a cassette deck for your stereo, because in a way, that's what it is.
Yeah. Valid point.
So that's some good advice from 1987.
The Modern Man.
Yeah, just go into the back of the store where the swinging saloon doors are and look at all the VHS that's there.
That's where you do it.
So Chris Rock, I mentioned earlier, hosting the 2016 Oscars, hopefully a less boring show. But the last time he was on was quite a while ago, 2005, and he did a pretty good job. But he might be a little bit meaner than you remember. I don't know, maybe too mean for the current climate.
He might be too mean for the current climate.
Yeah,
that's true.
Uh-huh.
For sure.
Here are some excerpts from his opening monologue last time. You ever see a movie so bad you question the actor's finances? Like, I saw this movie Boat Trip the other day, and I immediately sent Cuba Gooding Jr. a check for $80. Fahrenheit 9/11 was beautiful. Michael Moore did not get nominated for an Oscar. Right now, Michael Moore is going, I should have just made Super Size Me. I've done the research.
Oh!
Boom.
Then he went into politics. He said, Bush did some things you'll never get away with at your job. Imagine you worked at The Gap. You're $70 trillion behind on your register. And then you start a war with Banana Republic because you say they got a toxic tank tops over there. You have the war. People are dying. 1,000 Gap employees are dead. That's right. Bleeding all over the khakis. You finally take over Banana Republic and find out they never made tank tops in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that one.
So, I don't know. Here's a little bit of.
Now, please welcome our host for this evening, Chris Rock.
I'm going to feel really bad if he does the same things I just read. At least I didn't do a hack impression of him. I can, but I didn't. You know, Obama did not get this much of an ovation, and he was the first black president.
Is that the Terminator theme song?
The 77th and last Academy Awards. So great night tonight. We have like four black nominees tonight. So Cray, it's kind of like the Deaf Oscar Jam tonight. Now, remember when you were a kid and every movie was incredible? Every movie was magic? Oh, they were all great. Then you grow up and you watch some of those same movies and you're like, Rocky V sucks. Now, I love the Oscars. You know why I love the Oscars? Because the Oscars are the only show, the only award show where the people getting awards don't perform. That's right. There's no acting at the Oscars. None at all. If you go to the Grammys, they're singing. You go to the Tony Awards, they singing and dancing. You go to the Source Awards, they singing, dancing, and shooting, okay? But there's no acting at the Oscars at all. Can I get a...
That last joke, they cut away to Diddy, and he was stone-faced. He made a Source Awards joke, cut to Diddy. Yeah, just nothing. He's getting nothing from Diddy. So it's the whole nine minute clip is on YouTube.
Was he called Diddy at that time?
I can't keep track.
Or was it still Puff Daddy?
Kareem, it was 2005. What was Diddy called at that point?
I don't even know.
05.
No. I think it was Diddy at that point.
I think you're right.
I think Diddy is always the safest bet.
Mm-hmm.
After he, because he went from P Diddy. Well, yeah.
Sean Combs, Puff Daddy, P Diddy, and then he just went to Diddy.
We went from Puff Daddy to Diddy after the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that's what it was.
Well, yeah, because Diddy is sound.
A little rebranding.
Sound, yeah, you got to rebrand after a shooting.
Yeah.
It's really the only good judgment.
When Jennifer Lopez broke up with him.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, speaking of good judgment, here's a lottery winner displaying none.
Marie Holmes captured the nation with her story of hardship that seemed to be turning around with the Powerball win. The 26-year-old single mom of four kids, one of which has cerebral palsy, had just quit a job at McDonald's so she could care for her children. After taxes, her winnings totaled nearly $90 million. Holmes announced her plans to tithe to her church and set up college funds for her children.
Everything is all for them. All the struggle that I ever went through.
Now, this is all great. Give to your church, set up a thing for your family.
It's going to make a huge difference for them. Like, they're going to be able to go to school, not have to worry about paying for it. They're going to be able to live a comfortable life and not worry about struggling.
However, shortly after she received the money, she posted a $3 million bond for her boyfriend, Lamar McDowell. McDowell had been arrested on charges relating to 8,000 bags of heroin. Shortly after, he was arrested again at her house for violating the terms of his release. Now, he was found with a pistol and marijuana, resulting in another $6 million in bail. McDowell was arrested again this week on firearms charges for having a gun while being a convicted felon for an additional $10,000 in bail money. Now, Holmes angrily took to a local TV station's Facebook page to complain about the news coverage of where her winnings were actually being spent. For 11 News Now, I'm Joe Arena.
So, it's wow. Your winnings. Spend it any way you want.
Yeah.
But $9 million on bail money for your boyfriend seems a little much.
Yeah.
When will he learn?
And flushed it right down the toilet
He was a dumbass who, instead of taking the money and run, decided, oh, I can take this and make some more money.
That's what he was saying.
I'm going to parlay.
Yeah, he was that dumb motherfucker.
Yeah.
And she is too, she's either scared to get rid of him or she's too stupid to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Like, well, they're engaged now, Kareem.
Like, leave his ass in prison.
They're committed
Next time Next time he get arrested, leave his ass in jail and move the fuck on.
Yeah, time to move on.
Not just move on. Move out the house.
Yeah, you
sell the house.
Start anew.
Start anew. Go somewhere else. You got 90. You still got $89 million. Take the money.
Let's say she's down to $70 million.
$70 million. Right. Take the money. Leave his dumb ass where he is, because at some point he's going to get you arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a matter of time.
Well, yeah, because he's doing this in her house.
Yeah. It's a matter of time before he gets you arrested.
Technically, can't the government take your house if there's illegal drugs in your house under the seizure laws?
If you're willingly contributing.
Well, she's bailing him out of jail over and over again. I would say that qualifies.
Yeah, but they can take the house, but they can't take the money. So
it kind of sounds like one of those codependent relationships where he could probably say, "Yo,
it can't be that good.
Yo, bitch, go grab me. Go get Tommy. He's got my heroin," and she'll go grab it for him. And in which case,
it can't
she's
be
not
good.
Contributing.
Sam, I don't appreciate the racist impression there. I'm sorry. It's inappropriate.
She needs to cut
that. Probable.
Look, you got 98. You got $70 million left. You don't need him.
No.
Leave him.
No. You and here's the other thing. If you have that much money, this is advice from Adam Carolla. He's like, when I first got famous and I first started making money, the first thing I did before I got my first big check was I found a money manager because I knew I would blow it.
Yeah.
I knew I would. I'd end up like Wesley Snipes and not pay my taxes or something like that. You win the lottery, the first thing you need to do is get a money manager,
yes,
a professional money manager, not your cousin.
No, you need to get somebody who will tell you get rid of that motherfucker.
You need, yeah, right. You need to go find yourself and to borrow from Family Guy. You need to find yourself a Jew to help you manage your money.
Little penny sense.
I don't know. He might take
Pennywise.
Your money.
that only happens to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's it.
It did happen to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but either way, so that happened. Also in South Carolina, an irate man repeatedly punched his stepfather in the head. Why? Because he spilled his cup of Kool-Aid. That's right, Armin Magellan Jones. That's his name.
Armin. Magellan.
Magellan Jones.
I think there might be more than the Kool-Aid that's making him punch his dad in the head.
It's his stepdad.
I don't think it's just the Kool-Aid.
Stepdad.
Okay.
He's 32. He's facing an assault charge for allegedly pummeling 57-year-old John Leslie during a confrontation on Saturday night at their home in Rock City, which is 25 miles south of Charlotte, North Carolina. According to the Rock Hill Police Department report, Leslie told an officer that he and Jones began arguing over a cup of Kool-Aid that Leslie had knocked over.
Son of a bitch.
You clean it up. No, you clean it up.
No, that's another,
you clean it up.
That's another case of he need to be put the fuck out.
Right.
The dispute, cops noted, quickly escalates and Jones became irate. Leslie told police that Jones punched him several times in the head. The assault, cops reported, caused visible injury to Leslie. Jones, who we've got a little picture of here, fled on foot following the attack, but was arrested 2 hours later when he returned to the residence, where officers found him hiding behind the door in his bedroom.
You want me to tell you what's going on in that household?
What's your Kareem's breakdown?
I would love to hear that.
Leslie is telling everybody, nigga, you need to get a job and get your fucking ass about it.
That's what it is.
That's what's going on.
He's like, you spilled the Kool-Aid and like a five-year-old. You're acting like a five-year-old.
And Jones's mother's like, but that's my baby. We need to take care of my baby.
Oh, no, you're probably.
And every day he's like, nigga, did you get your ass up out of bed to go look for a job today? He's like, oh, man, you need to get up off me. Pops.
Yeah. Let me drink my Kool-Aid right now. He's like, slaps the Kool-Aid out of his head.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't pay. Look, you didn't buy. Like, did you buy any sugar or any? Did you even buy a pack of Kool-Aid?
You didn't buy the 10-cent packet?
Like, you didn't buy the 10-cent pack of Kool-Aid. You can't have no goddamn Kool-Aid around here.
You haven't been doing the dishes. You've not been doing the fucking dishes.
Look at how high the grass is outside. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to step on a snake when I step out the front door to go to church tomorrow morning.
Have you seen the film on the toilet?
Are you quoting? This is so good. This has to be from personal experience.
No. Like, look at your pissed on the toilet seat.
There's a film all around the toilet.
That is it.
If you tinkle when you sprinkle, be a sweetie and wipe the seating.
There's some yellow shit all around the toilet. You don't do a goddamn thing around here, but sit up in here, play them goddamn video games, eat some Kool-Aid. I can't believe you tend to be talking to some little chicken-headed girls.
He's got this down.
You need to get your ass up out of here and go get a job. And that's what happened.
That's it, Pops. I've had enough. I'm going to hit you in the head.
You shouldn't talk to my baby like that.
I think that's probably the most accurate recreation we've ever had done here.
That was elaborate and very entertaining. Thank you. It tickled on the seat.
That was dead on, sir. Dead on.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right. First up in Cool or Tool, Chris Rock. Chris Rock. Jason?
Oh, definitely cool.
Kareem?
Cool.
Sam?
Hella cool.
Chris Rock host, Chris Rock comedian, cool. Chris Rock actor, tool.
Right, yeah.
Stick to what you do well, my friend. Stick to what you do well. Up next in Cooler Tool, helping a brother out. Helping a brother out. Kareem?
Tool.
Sam?
Again, this is always tough in Cooler Tool if we're going to be referencing the story or not. Helping a brother out is always cool. But helping... No. We're, yeah, you're right. It's not always... I'm going to say cool, though, in the general sense.
Jason?
Tool.
It's totally tool. It's totally tool, because you're just going to have to keep helping a brother out of jail.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. And finally in Cooler Tool, this is a tough one, Sam, Kool-Aid.
Check it out. Kool-Aid has cool in the name, but it's spelled with a K. Guess who else uses the K? The Ku Klux Klan.
They use three.
They use three of them. But besides that, I used to love Kool-Aid. I was a passionate Kool-Aid drinker until I saved up one summer over 300 Kool-Aid points to get a goddamn t-shirt.
Oh, boy.
I mailed that shit in. Never got my Kool-Aid t-shirt.
Not even 4 to 6 weeks later?
And this was before they were starting to sell that at a Walmart store. You had to get them exclusively with the points. So, hella tool, dude.
Kareem?
Nostalgically, it's cool. These days, I haven't drank Kool-Aid. I take it back. I'll probably end up drinking Kool-Aid next time I go to North Carolina.
I think it's still cool for you, isn't it?
I think it might be still cool.
Yeah.
Jason?
We were so poor growing up that my mom wouldn't even buy Kool-Aid.
Well, yeah, because you had to buy sugar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
That was a cheap way to make Kool-Aid. Right. I always wanted the stuff you didn't have to add sugar to.
Yeah, when they made that up, that was the good stuff.
And my mother was like, that is too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want Kool-Aid, we're going to mix the sugar.
Yeah, we always had sugar.
Kool-Aid was cool.
Yeah,
Kool-Aid's cool. But here's the thing. If you're over 12 and you drink Kool-Aid on the regular,
right,
you need to look in the mirror for a good long time.
Yeah.
Stare at that stain around your mouth and go, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
But that solar strawberry star fruit is so damn good.
Yeah.
Man.
And that's going to do it for Cooler Tool. Thanks, everybody. That was fun. Good news. Ole Miss has finally removed the racist state flag of Mississippi from campus. I know. I was shocked, too.
What?
4 months after the deadly shooting in Charleston reignited the national debate about the appropriateness of hanging a deeply racist symbol on government property, the University of Mississippi has removed the Mississippi state flag, which includes a miniature Confederate emblem in its top left corner. That's gone from campus now. Last week, the university student body passed resolution 15-13. So far from unanimous, that called for the flag's removal. The president of the UMNAACP said, "This is one small step in the structure change that we want to see at the university. I'm positive for the future because of how quickly the administration acted." The move comes 5 years after Ole Miss retired its Confederate soldier mascot, Colonel Reb, and replaced it with a black bear. You really have to Google this character. And they cartoonified it, but still. You could just see him on the plantation going, "You know what I love? Land and slavery." The team is still called the Rebels, and people like this still attend the university, but it's small steps, I guess. That's according to the NAACP president there. And, you know, it's nice that happened.
Right.
I mean, early on in the school year, got it out of the way. You know, it would be really great if the state of Mississippi would get that out of their flag.
Out of the state flag.
Yeah, it's not happening.
You know what they should do? Here's what you do. You replace it with a picture of Brett Favre. Mississippi's favorite son.
That's probably the only flag they'd fly, I think.
Seriously. No. I mean, Brett Favre would love it. And you could have an alternate version of the flag, like a miniature flag. It would be Brett Favre's penis. We have pictures.
You have to hang it down below the actual flag.
It was only when flying at half mast. Yeah. Half mast is what's going on with that. So
like a tongue sticking out like Odie.
So well done, Mississippi. Well done. This was kind of a bummer, though. We've talked a lot about gun control. This isn't about gun control right now. This is something that probably no one knows a lot about. I happened upon it on the Huffington Post. Headline is, GOP lawmakers want to make gun silencers cheaper and easier to buy. That's right. House Republicans introduced a bill that would eliminate a federal tax on gun silencers and would weaken licensing requirements that currently make the devices more difficult to buy than most firearms. Here's what it is. It's the Hearing Protection Act of 2015. I shit you not. That's what it's called. Proposed by Representative Matt Salmon from Arizona, and co-sponsored by 10 of his colleagues, who would do this by removing silencers, which are also called suppressors, from the purview of the National Firearms Act, and instead putting them in the same regulatory category as long guns. As its title suggests, the bill's sponsors are framing it as an effort to keep shooters from damaging their ears.
It's like, it's the funniest thing about that is, like, the silencer was created to, like, kill people. Like, it's to silently kill somebody, like, as an assassin.
And right? And right. To get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. And to get away with right. It. Yeah. No, like, that's...
It wasn't to kill people. It was to get away with it so that you could shoot them and no one could pinpoint where the sound was coming from. Oh, and you'd have a chance to get away. If you fire a gun, people are going to hear where it comes from.
Yeah, no, it's designed to kill someone. I mean, that's and get away with it. That's exactly. That's all. It's
you don't see people at the gun range with their silencer on. They've got headphones covering their ears.
As of right now, the penalties for possession of an unregistered silencer or other NFA hardware, or for using NFA equipment to commit a crime, are also significantly higher than for standard firearms. However, the bill would make it easy to obtain a silencer as it is to get any other gun or piece of equipment from a federal firearms license holder. A $200 fee would be removed, and anyone who paid the fee between October 22nd and the law's enactment would get a refund. The bill also includes a provision to nullify any state-specific registration or taxation on silencers. Where is the loud outcry for states' rights now? It's all about states' rights, states' rights, states' rights. Oh, except in this thing where we're going to get rid of the penalties for having a silencer and make it difficult, that we're not going to let the states do anything about. What a bunch of fucking nonsense. Fucking dick. Jesus.
Who?
Right now, California and New York have bans on the books. A number of states only allow the use of silencers for certain purposes, like hunting.
Who needs a silencer to go hunting?
Exactly. Fucking nonsense.
There, you know who needs a silencer? Like, the only people that need a silencer are like SWAT, like not even SWAT guy. SEAL team. Yeah, snipers. SEAL team six. Like, those,
like if you're not
that's
in
it.
If you're not in the military in a high class. You don't need a silencer.
There's no reason for it.
No, none whatsoever.
But the founding fathers, Kareem, they wanted me to have a silencer.
The founding fathers wanted you to shoot with a fucking musket.
Yeah. That's in a blunderbuss.
Well, if I could have had a silencer on my blunderbuss, I wouldn't have to stick this horn in my ear, would I?
Yes, they wanted you to shoot with a musket. They wanted you to shoot at each other from 12 paces. Yeah. I bet you, if two people had, if you really had to shoot at each other from 12 paces, a lot of people would not be shooting.
Mm, yeah, well, yeah. Well, Glenn Rice Jr. might be, but that's another story altogether. Google that one.
I saw a part of that, but I didn't see it.
It was a shootout in a restaurant in Atlanta. I think it was T.I.'s restaurant in Atlanta. And Glenn Rice Jr., whose dad was, well, he played in the NBA briefly, but his dad was the one who went to Michigan, won a national title, and played in the NBA for a long time. He's now been arrested after he went to the hospital to seek treatment for a gunshot wound because he was in a shootout and then left. And he had a bunch of weed on him. And That somebody saw him, some saw him running away and throwing a gun away too. So a lot of bad stuff going on there.
Oh, see,
and T.I. can't be happy about this.
The dumbass.
That's right.
See, that's what happened. His daddy helped him out too much.
Yeah. Too much. Hey, speaking of dumbasses, Mike Huckabee attempted to crack a series of jokes about Hillary Clinton during her Benghazi testimony last week. My God, did you guys watch any of that? Any of the recorded part of the Benghazi testimony? Oh, my God. It was painful. And I could tap out and go anytime. She had to sit there for the full day as of them. So Mike Huckabee, who I have long said is a horrible fuck. Mike Huckabee is a horrible fuck.
I've never had that experience with him. But he might have a small penis.
Nicely played.
He's on Twitter being hack comedian. He tweeted, at Hillary Clinton coming clean to hashtag Benghazi committee, seemingly about as likely as me getting a Che Guevara tattoo on the small of my back. Hashtag Benghazi. Do you really need to hashtag Benghazi committee and Benghazi? No, you don't. But that's you know, neither here nor there. Of course, a tweet like that is pretty much an invitation for Photoshop. And it got a lot of it, including it was just some various interesting Photoshop versions of Mike Huckabee with a Che Guevara tramp stamp.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can't wait to see that.
None, obviously, by professional. By professional Photoshop artists, because these are so shitty. These are so shitty.
Cut and paste,
dude. Any of our friends who are actually graphic designers would throw their computer in disgust at how bad they are.
Oh, Alice,
these are horrible. These are horrible.
They are, but they're funny.
They're funny.
They're funny because they make fun of that ass clown, and he really, really is a two-bit ass clown. I'm just gonna say it.
I saw a really funny meme of like,
He's a hipster preacher.
I really hope that we get to the bottom of this whole Fugazi scandal.
I really hope we get to the bottom of Fugazi too. First of all, I want to know, how do you listen to that terrible music? And second of all, that's how I know musicians like bad music, because they will reference stuff like that all day. Oh, you need to listen to Fugazi. That's brilliant. It's like, no.
Man, they've been touring for
It's different.
Decades.
But it's not great. Oh, don't go back to that. How dare you?
They've been touring for decades, and they only charge like $5 for their shows. They're like, really? they're all about the down with the man and keeping it low cost.
Keep the fans happy.
Down with the man, I say. Get down. Out of the way. It's my imitation of Fugazi. I don't know. Their music was just a lot of noise for me.
I'm not a fan.
No, but people speak very highly of them. Mm-hmm. I think they're one of those bands that, as an inspiration, is far better than their actual work. Much like say the New York Dolls. I don't know why I picked them out of nowhere, but there you go. All right, let's go with this now.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
All right. Headline, deputies say man stopped on Interstate 75 disguised narcotics as erectile dysfunction medication. A Hillsborough County man is accused of trying to transport nearly 2,000 amphetamine and Xanax pills by disguising them in packaging for erectile dysfunction medication. His name is David William Thomas. He's 51. He was pulled over by deputies on I-75 near mile marker 138 for following another vehicle too closely just after 11 a.m. That's how they got him.
My dick don't work.
That's still an awful lot of boner pills. That's all I'm saying. To be doing that. Also, are you wondering where God is? Well, an Aster man told deputies that he is the creator and he owns the world.
Oh, dope.
Sweet deal. Lucky guy.
He was arrested after telling deputies that he, and I quote, the creator and own the world. While on patrol, a deputy noticed Alan Ramsey, 61, hiding in a bush on the north side of State Road 40.
Oh, God.
This sounds like the beginning of Oh, God, book three.
Oh, no.
The deputy sheriff said Ramsey was watching a worker at the Kangaroo Express pick up garbage outside the store, so the deputy asked Ramsey to come out of the bushes. Ramsey then tried to hide himself better, but finally came out of the bushes.
It's pure comedy. They know he's in the bush and he tries to hide himself better.
He's like, this damn cloaking won't work.
When he was asked what he was doing, he said, I am the creator and it's none of your business.
No way.
When asked again who he was, he replied, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Look it up.
He's doing the whole burning bush thing, man.
I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the,
it's the talking
the
bush.
He sounds a little like Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell character. I'm the Alpha and Omega. Look it up. I have many leather-bound volumes. Smells of rich mahogany. Anyway, he then tried to hide in the bushes again and kept responding to the deputy's request for his name with, look it up! After being taken into custody, he continued to mumble that he was the creator and the owned the world. Due to his behavior and refusal to identify himself, deputies say Ramsey was arrested and charged with loitering and prowling. Maybe a little mental health hole.
That might be it.
Although it's Florida, I mean, it's not really that far
out of the norm
for what's going on. It's one of those things that you just go, well.
Man, that could have been like G. You know what I mean? Like, that could have been like...
The big G, the capital G.
The capital G.
The capital G, the OG, the capital OG. Oh, God. I wonder what George Burns would say looking down from heaven at this.
But two.
Oh, God, and Oh, God. By the way, underrated movies with George Burns and John Denver. Oh, God. Very funny movie.
Again, I loved him as a kid.
Again, from the 70s, moves a little bit slow. But when you start to think eventually John Denver is going to crash his experimental aircraft into the ocean.
Oh, my God.
It really picks up for you. It's not funny. He really died.
And George Burns is going to live for like 100 years smoking cigarettes and boozing. And
well, he's dead, too.
Well, now he is.
He predeceased him.
He lived longer than he should have.
He lived. So. How long did he live?
I think he might have gotten into his hundreds, maybe.
Yeah, he was at least 100.
Let's look really quickly. George Burns. Of course, the Wikipedia article is. I gotta open the whole thing. Hold on.
It's in German.
Let's see. He was born in January. Yeah, he was exactly 100.
Yeah.
He made it to 100.
He made it to the triple digits.
By a month and a half, and he died of cardiac arrest. So, there you go. And one of his other names is Nate, so there you go.
Strong name.
Well, he was born Nathan Birnbaum. He was born Nathan Birnbaum. Mm-hmm. So that's his real name.
I would have changed that
How
too.
Darling.
How dare you? How dare you? How I could change it to
change
Kareem.
That too.
I'll change it to Luau Sindor. My name is now Luau. That would be ironic, though. Someone changed their name to Luau Cinder, and then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was like, hey, and he went, well.
I want to change my name to Cassius Clay.
You abdicated it. Well, that's not, he's just too, he's not going to be able to do anything about that. He's old. Mm. How dare you disrespect my, he carried a shaky Sorry. Torch up.
That was so
But
beautiful.
Cassius is the name of a general.
Yeah, I think it's a great name.
It is. It is.
It sounds, and, it's phonetically wonderful.
Cassius Clay, Luau Cinder, both great names. I mean, yeah. They changed their names for a reason. That's
I changed fun. My name to Endless Mike.
All right.
What does Endless Mike mean? Why is it Endless Mike? Is that like...
It just sounds
that,
cool.
Is that supposed to be like a sex show? Like it's like no. an endless night with Endless Mike?
That's good, though. I like that.
Is it like Magic Mike, but Endless Mike?
Yeah, use your imagination.
That's my magic. It's endless.
Like she's just like saying like God, just endless, it's endless. Get I'm, off me!
I'm That's starting what they to all say.
My vagina's starting to chafe.
or butthole.
Okay.
Sorry.
So we talked a little earlier about the fight over Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Well, a Minnesota man has been arrested for bludgeoning his grandmother to death with a hammer. Why?
Good God.
Why? Because the 84-year-old blew her nose at the dinner table.
That is some disgusting behavior.
It's true. It's true. It is really rude. Timothy Robert Steele, who's 35, told investigators he was angry with Agnes Wagner Steele.
This has got to be fake. You know,
because she had caused a hole in one of his jackets. So he's already upset about it. Responding to an emergency call placed by his mother... Cops found Steele sitting on the living room couch, asked what was going on. A calm and collected Steele reportedly told cops, I killed my grandmother. After being read his rights, he told officers that he was, and I quote, annoyed by the victim blowing her nose at dinner. Steele then spoke of becoming fixated on the feeling of mucus in his mouth and could smell mucus because the victim had blown her nose at dinner. He claimed to have heard voices in his head and told police that he believed if he killed the victim, the feeling and smell of mucus that he was experiencing would go away. You know what else would have done that? A swig of Coke. Maybe some Kool-Aid. No need to kill grandma at the table.
Man, so sad. Like,
that's terrible.
He's obviously mentally ill. He's facing up to 40 years in prison, though.
It's tough enough to watch those horror movies where it's a lot of stabbing and bludgeoning.
Yes.
But at least you know that this is an artificial reenactment.
Right.
This is disgusting, man. That makes me sick to my stomach. Now I think I will change my name. Instead of Endless Michael, go to Agnes Wagner Steele. And I'll do it in memory of her.
Okay.
Plus, it's just a really cool sounding name.
We're going to hold you to it.
Agnes Wagner Steele.
Well, and here's the relay that story at your next family gathering, and Thanksgiving is coming up.
Yeah.
So if you got a problem with grandma, maybe she's a little out of line, just tell her the story beforehand and just
keep a little hammer at the table.
Quietly set the hammer. Don't put it on the table. That would be menacing.
Oh.
Set it down and lean it up against your chair.
Yeah.
Just go.
But it has to be within view, right?
Just go. You know, old lady, I can reach this at a moment's notice.
Or what would be even better, you could get some of those those khaki work pants that have like the loop for the
The little hammer slot.
The hammer slot.
Yeah. Carpenter's pants.
Carpenter's pants. Yeah.
You'll be like,
wear some of those, and it's just like, hey, I'm wearing carpenter's pants.
Would you use a framing hammer or a finish hammer kill grandma?
I would probably use
a rubber mallet. It takes a little longer.
If I really wanted to kill grandma, I would probably go with a straight claw hammer.
Yeah.
Right.
Because then, you know,
if it's getting too difficult with the one side.
If the bludgeoning's not enough, then you can flip it over to the claw and really get some penetration. Yeah.
That's practical.
I might go with a hatchet that you would use for like construction, like
with
a road
the flathead.
Or something. Yeah. Like when you're, you know,
kicking it up a notch, yeah. Jason.
Sure, sure.
So that's, I mean, because you get the hatchet on the other side.
Right.
You can just split the head.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. That's a step up from the claw hammer.
Right.
That might be a little much, though. That might be a little much.
You know what? It gets fucking...
It's quicker, but messier, I imagine.
It's true. It's true. So,
Sam, Kareem, I'm gonna let your grandmother listen to this. So when you can't pay your fucking rent and you need somewhere to stay,
I take it all back.
Like, this is what he said. You probably should not let him spend the night anymore.
You know what I would bring to the table? A cotton swab. That's it.
To remind you of how hard people
grandma,
work.
Grandma, do you have too much mucus in that nose? I've got a cotton swab. Let me help you out.
That's not what you use a cotton swab for.
No, but it's just a cute visual.
It's true. Also, a woman on meth stole bowl cutters and then fought with deputies before she was arrested. This from Oregon. She stole some bowl cutters from a store, walked into the middle of the highway traffic, and then fought with deputies who were called to the scene. The incident began around 7 a.m. on a Wednesday with reports of a woman who went into a spa building business on Wilco Highway near Mount Angel in Oregon, caused a disturbance and then stole a pair of bolt cutters. Witnesses said the woman then walked into the middle of Wilco Highway and was nearly struck by oncoming vehicles. Deputies arrived and found the woman inside a tent on neighboring property. When the deputies informed the woman that she was under arrest and they began to attempt to put her in handcuffs, she began pulling away and kicking at them. The situation then escalated when around seven other people exited their tents RVs and began surrounding the deputies and shouting at them.
I'm still trying to figure out how these white people keep being alive after doing shit like this.
Yeah,
we're a hardy bunch, Kareem. We're a very hardy bunch. The sheriff's office said 9 officers and deputies at the scene were able to calm the crowd down and finally take the woman into custody. No injuries were reported to anyone involved, so that's good news. Her name is Amber Danielson. She's 25.
That's the part that I'm still trying to understand. How are there no injuries involved?
Because there were no black people camping, Kareem. Come on.
Because we don't camp.
This is not true. The homeless camps, there are black people camping out.
That's true.
At least around here. It's true. That's absolutely true. I'm glad no one was hurt with the whole thing. I just found that very interesting. And not all assaults are as terrible as the hammer or the hatchet or the bolt cutters. Some assaults, though, very, very frightening and must be dealt with in a stern manner. Or else, you know, bad things could happen.
Thank you, Chelsea. New at 11, a mother tells CBS 6 Problem Solvers that she's upset that her daughter has been out of school for an entire month because she threw a carrot at her teacher, and she's potentially facing charges of assault and battery. Our John Burkett spoke to the student and investigates why this process is taking so long.
Exhibit A, a baby carrot.
A baby
weapon
carrot.
Used, according to school disciplinary paperwork, and an assault and battery of a Moody Middle School teacher.
I don't even know how to combat the stupidity of it.
Carrie May's 14-year-old daughter.
I believe Moody is the name of the middle school. It's not a Moody Middle School teacher.
I don't understand the whole thing. She was playing.
That was a terrible setup.
Yes, it happened. Yeah. They would have called and said, oh, she's in trouble. She got a couple days in school, maybe even a day or two out of school, but this has gone beyond that. We got court. She's charged. Not small charges. She's assault and battery with a weapon.
The 14-year-old girl says she had just left class and in the hallway saw a teacher that she had last year. So as part of a joke, she reached in her pocket and pulled out a baby carrot that she had stashed away at lunch. She said she tossed it towards the teacher, never thinking she hit her on the forehead.
It's a soft carrot, and they're not be as offensive as a raw carrot. You don't have to have an injury for a battery. There doesn't have to be any showing that somebody was actually hurt. It just has
their legal experts.
Is this the lawyer? Yeah.
An unwanted touching. That's what the law
unwanted
says.
And RICO schools declined to comment about the carrot case. Carrie May says the school's disciplinary review board sent this letter recently to try and get her daughter to admit guilt, adding they tastefully declined. Now mom says they await a summons to see what happens next.
This will go before a judge, and there could be legally sufficient evidence for a finding of guilt here. This is not the kind of thing I think a judge would necessarily find her guilty of, but they could offer her some sort of counseling to have it taken under advisement, sort of put a carrot at the end of the stick.
Get it?
Oh, no, he didn't.
He did. By the way, this lawyer, their legal expert, he looks a little like Dwight Yoakam's character in Sling Blade, but in a shirt and tie.
It's just so horrible, man. Like, what's up with, like, the treating this, the fact that
such a level of intensity.
Such gravitas.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
I mean, there was once upon a time when there were some pretty intense pranking going on, and no one, you know, you've got detention.
We took our history teacher's VW bug, like myself and like 6-7 other guys, lifted it up and moved it into the center of this quad.
Grand theft.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We could have been that's
today. Yeah.
Man, I used to set up fireworks. I used to get firecrackers, set them up with a candle at the end, so it'd be like timed out, and I would not be anywhere around it on the back of the toilet in the high school.
That's brilliant.
And then I would go away, and like I would be in Guantanamo right now.
Oh, yeah.
I would be a terrorist.
We got a Unabomber here.
Like, I mean, like, just thinking about, like, that's just me doing stupid shit as a kid. Yeah. Wasn't trying to hurt anybody.
No.
It was a firecracker.
Assault with a deadly weapon.
Honestly, a baby carrot. I can understand a full-grown, unshaven carrot has a little more threat to it.
Listen, they had a photo of the carrot next to a ruler. It came in at 1¾ inches.
And it's round and bulbous on both sides.
Shame on the teacher for bringing this forward. Shame on everybody for letting this become something. This is
and before anybody worries about this, it's a white girl, so this could happen to anybody.
Right.
If you're gonna,
that's
if you're,
what she gets.
If you're, that's right. If the school board's going to pull a 14-year-old white girl out for that, then
no
they could do
safe.
It to any. Nobody is safe.
No one's safe.
Nobody.
You
safe.
Know what it is they did something to a little black boy the week before, and they're like, "We can't look.
You
got to
make it
staff.
Equal.
It's a makeup call.
Makeup
call.
It's possible.
It's in Virginia. You never know what's going on.
Yeah, but they didn't tackle her and choke her.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm saying. Hey, no.
So we got to suspend her. We got to charge her with assault.
Charge her.
We didn't assault her, so we got to charge her with assault.
Salt and battery. Oh, so man. That's what's going
unwanted
on in schools,
touching.
Everybody. But hey, going to be easier to get a silencer soon.
You can get one on Amazon.com through the Nate Darling tab.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to look because someone might check on me. So, anywho, let's wrap this show up.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
Going up to northern Maine, Orono, Maine, home of the University of Maine, to be precise, not far from where Stephen King crafted many a tale of terror. Mwah!
Are we going to get a little Satan voice in this Halloween episode? Or God voice or vagina voice, whatever
sure,
you want to call
sure.
it?
Sure, please hold.
Please hold. I think it's fitting.
The Family Dog Restaurant on Mill Street is adding a large grass terrace between its current deck and the main road.
I like
that. Will add a performance area, seating, and an outside fireplace. We're pumped, Bob Cutler said Friday after gaining a board approval. We're putting in approximately a 2,000 square foot raised grass terrace off our deck.
This is ridiculous.
It will provide community space for events and add space for our customers. His plans for the terrace went before town planners on Wednesday, some of whom asked about the loss of parking spaces and the change in the traffic pattern. It's not a particularly safe crossover with that space. Said town planner Evan Rickert, said of the sloped driveway that connects Mill Street to the parking lot of Burby and Bates on Oak Street. They're building a retaining wall. They'll lose 8 parking spaces along Main Street.
Okay.
One of those 8 would have been mine, I swear.
But we'll add 8 spaces in the lower lot. The Family Dog opened at 6 Mill Street back in November of 2012, offering gourmet hot dogs and burgers. And Cutler hopes to have the expansion started this fall and complete by early spring. The retaining wall will mean a different pedestrian path. That's all! For those traveling between Oak and Mill Streets, Carpenter Associates of Old Town prepared the site plan for the Family Dog under A&A Orono Incorporated.
So ridiculous.
Cutler, who said he wants to host family movie nights and live music on his new outside terrace, is adding food and drinks to the outside area.
Shame on.
But.
I want more anger, Satan Nate. Give me a little more anger.
Customers will also be able to order items off the regular Family Dog menu.
Oh my God.
We'll have menu expansion. It will be cocktail service along with a full bar. The new space also allows for one of the company's 2 food trucks, the Stray Dog and Grammy's Grilled Cheese and Melts, to be operated and parked at the location. The outside terrace will have a fireplace, and makings for s'mores will be added to the menu. We're going to have a beautiful fireplace out there. We'll have sticks out there so they can make their own s'mores. It's something different and fun.
We're going to have sticks out there.
And that's Small Town News.
Oh, my God.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
That was something else.
I really hope the recording didn't overmodulate too much. Oh, boy. I have a spit guard on this microphone. Thank God.
Thank God. I got some on me.
Well,
I appreciate that.
If you're going to do it right, you...
You really have to do it to get into it.
Wow.
Because if I just do that here, it doesn't sound like it.
But if I do it here, oh, it makes me so angry.
Nice.
You know... Nah, I'm not going to go back there. That would be scary. I'm talking about the beginning of Wednesday's show. Ooh. All right, everybody.
Have a great Halloween.
That was fun.
It was fun. Thank you for suggesting it, Sam. Yeah. it's one of those things that we should have done all along and didn't really do. I gotta find something here. I gotta find something good to go out on.
Here's a song for you. It's on that 1930s Halloween album, Halloween Spook. See if you can find it.
Ooh, Halloween Spook.
It's hilarious and
kitschy. I think I know what you're talking about. Is it this one?
That's the one. That's it. This is my Halloween anthem right now.
By Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross.
Yep. There we go.
All right, everybody, make sure you're safe out there. Don't take any wooden nickels. And for God's sake, X-ray all of your food. Or shave with an apple. I don't care what you do.
Yeah, shave with an apple.
There might be a razor blade in there. I want to start shaving with an apple.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
And by the way, if you accidentally go ahead and trick-or-treat at a stoner's house and they give you an apple, make sure you double check before you leave that they haven't given you a bong that they've crafted.
Ooh.
Cute. You might chip a tooth, right?
It's true. You don't want that. Yeah. You don't want that.
I usually eat the evidence.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Kareem.
My pleasure.
Hopefully, Diana back next week. That's the word on the street. Ooh, scary. Remember, this is Sam's idea, this song.
It's so weird. I effing love it.
There you go. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. See you next time.
What Daisy Duck sounds like when she comes.
Children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside.